the kitchen of intrigue. Kurt Jackson and Chris Kellel are cooking up a batch of mystery soup.
Each episode serves a new blend of tips, tactics, trends, and tales from the business and design sides of the escape room world.
So grab your spoon, because this episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
Mystery Soup.
Welcome to the Mystery Soup podcast, all about escape rooms, where we talk to owners, enthusiasts, startups, game designers, and whoever else we can get on here, including camp directors, apparently,
yes,
who are enthusiasts themselves and have designed escape rooms for their camp. I have with me today, Chris Kellel. How's it going, Chris?
Good.
Chris is my co-host on our other podcast, which is Scamp Life, the programming side, where we talk about summer camp programming, because that is what we really enjoy besides
one of our passions.
One of our passions. And I wanted to talk to Chris about doing escape rooms at camps. Chris is going to be my co-host for this podcast as well. And so this is a great opportunity to get to know him and hear about his experiences.
I will say, if you are listening to this and you are a camp person, check out the Scamp Life podcast, the programming side, because we do talk escape rooms a lot over there too. Or if you're an escape room owner and you're like, hey, I camp might be a new, I can help. There's a camp not far from me. And yeah, we talk a lot about escape rooms at camp. So definitely That's a good true. Thing to check out. Maybe head on over there too. You can see, I've got 200 episodes. So you're going to have to scroll through and see which ones we talk about escape rooms.
Yeah, we have. I think that is something that if you design escape rooms, check out, like, I would say the local summer camps, like the overnight camps, the local work with maybe your rec department, the city rec departments, clubs, private clubs, YMCAs. And as far as just expanding out beyond commercial escape rooms, if you want to design, of course, they're not going to have the budget.
More money.
Yeah. But yeah, they will. Yeah. Some of them will be able to pay your fees, but as far as build out, they're not going to be able to, I don't know, create a commercial escape room that we normally go to.
I started working with my local escape room when we did our escape room design camp. We had a whole camp for kids learning to design escape rooms. And I worked with my local escape room. It gave them more business. And
Chris, let's talk about camps for a second. Let's talk about escape room camps, because as Tina and I were traveling, we came across a couple of escape room businesses that also did camps for kids. And when I talked to them more about it, it seemed like it was more about keeping the kids busy with crafty. We're going to do this prop, bedazzle it. And let's talk about what the theme, but they already had everything worked out. So there wasn't a lot of input, but they would build a escape room out. Some of them would build it out and use it as a public room that they charged for. Others were like, parents and kids can come and do it for free just to see what it's all about. But I think if you are an escape room business that is looking for other ways to make money, that a camp could be a good one, but you got to do it right. It can be done well. We're talking, 10, 20 kids? Doesn't take a lot.
Yeah, max. You don't want a ton.
Right.
Too many is going to be rough.
And you got to have the space for it, obviously. You can have half-day camp before maybe you open, or you can do a full day during the week. And I don't know. It depends on you. But you, Chris, have done an after school program that could be a camp as well. And so instead of every week they meet, they could have done it every day for a week.
Yeah. One of our biggest issues was creating the room with together. And because anyone has made an escape room, it doesn't just pop up overnight. It's There's a few things. And so when we did ours every week, the kids came up with the idea. They had the theme and puzzles and stuff. And then they helped with as much as they could, but we knew we had to get to a certain, you know, like, okay, we got to go build some walls because we need to put puzzles in next week, or we need to paint next week, or things like that. And so, okay, we're going to put up walls this week. Okay, we're going to finish this little thing and paint all the bricks on the wall or something, do some of the set design where we just don't have the time during the camp. We went overboard because I go overboard on everything. But I even just thinking like little pop-up rooms or like the travel escape rooms that are in tents, those would be so much easier to do with the design camp because that is something you could do in a week at a time, and they create everything really. It's not keeping them busy. I know we actually got the idea. Kurt turned me on to this TV show on Peacock, and I can't think of the name of it. It's Create the Escape.
Create the Escape. That's right.
Yes. I'm like, oh, that was such a good idea. But they did it exactly how you were saying. They had the room figured out. They had all the props, and the kids maybe made one prop
or came right. up with right.
one puzzle. And so I'm like, oh, that's dumb. But so we did it. Our kids came up with pretty much everything. And there was a few little elements we had to help with or add in. They're kids.
Didn't you want... saying that when they came up, you were trying to figure out the theme and you're like, well, I'm going to start pushing them into the theme because
next time I do it, I will probably tell them, here's your choices of themes.
Right.
Just because we were so wide, and we eventually came up with the theme of castle, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You come up with a lot of designs. I thought that'd be easy. Problem is, you can't just like go out to Walmart and buy castle-y things. So that became very difficult to find props or stuff that fit the theme. And so if I were to do it again, I would have several. Here's your, what are five choices? Let's pick one. But they would be five choices of things I could find props and puzzles and stuff for fairly
easy. Like what?
I do like a playground theme, or like in the 80s, we're going to do an 80s, 90s theme, or a back to school kind of theme, or escape the classroom. Yeah. Things like that. That would be like, okay, you could find not dragons and knights and castles from back in the day.
Right.
That was rough. Even we noticed as we looked around for castle-y things, there's a ton of pirate stuff out there. I don't
That's true.
It seems to be pirate would be an easy theme to do. But the way we ran our rooms is they would come and do either my room or a bag or an online escape room. Or if we were working with an escape room company, we'd go on a field trip and we'd do their room first. So like we started off by escaping something that first hour. And then it was a 3-hour long class. So the other 2 hours, then we worked it out. And we actually worked on, the goal was three different things. We were going to do an escape bag, an escape pop-up, and then the big escape room. We ended up forgetting the pop-up altogether because it was too much to tie in, and we just did the bag and the room. So
you designed the bag them?
Yep.
Okay.
So I had several bags already, and I'm like, here's your choices. And let's come up with theme around it and tie it in. So they picked there was an old looking brown purse. They decided that was grandma's purse. And so then, okay, I had a set of questions figured out ahead of time. Okay, what's the problem? What is our goal, our task? What do we need? And figuring that out. And so they decided grandmas are old. They always have hard candy. And so grandma's got a cough and she needs to get to her hard candy to soothe her throat, which is a
fun
thing.
But it's locked up for some reason.
Why? Yeah, and grandma locked up. She don't trust nobody.
That's but right. Yeah, so I will say that we might have to do a whole episode on escape bags. Basically it's an escape room in a bag. And the first one that we looked at was a backpack, a school backpack, and I put it together and used it in our escape room business as a lobby game. So people came early and they had to wait. They could play this lobby game that took them 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and people really enjoyed it. And then from there decided to create a few others, and Chris took the ball and really ran with it and created a bunch of different ones for camp.
Six now. They all take 45 minutes to an hour too. Mine are
you go a little difficult on everything. Your puzzles. Yeah. And as opposed to, we didn't, doing a 45 minute wouldn't work in a commercial escape room because people are, don't come that early. No. So I had to keep it really
Mine short. Was made for camp to take an hour.
Right. That's true. more puzzles. Yeah. So how did you get into escape rooms?
Funny story. Before I even knew you, Kurt, we wanted to do an escape room at our camp that we were at. We'd heard about them, thought they were cool. I'd never been to one, but I'm like, oh, let's do an escape room. And so we got your book, the How to Design an Escape Room. I don't even remember what it's called. How to Design
a Low Cost, room, like How camps. To Design Low Cost Escape yeah. Room. Yeah. For and camps. So and yeah.
We got that and we created this mad science room and loved it. And then about a year later, met you, started talking with you, and you're like, "You, what do you mean you've never done you need to go do an escape room?" I'm like, "Hey, I'm good." It's still never did one. And then you came and visited in 2020.
Yeah.
And we were designing another escape room at that point, working on a different one. And you're like, okay, we're going to go to a room. And so my very first room, we went to this Wild Wild West one.
That's right. And
it was awesome.
That was with your son, escaped. Right?
That was with Rowan and Beanie.
Yeah.
And so I think they both came. Carrie did not. She had to work. That's when she had a real job.
Upset.
Yeah, she still has not done that room and wanted to, but that's funny. I'd go back. It's been a few rooms. I've forgotten everything, but yeah, so that was our first one we did. I'm up to, I think I just saw the other day, I'm up to 76 rooms I've done now.
It's awesome.
And, but yeah, that just starting. And I was in the mindset, I was nervous about doing escape rooms because I had an idea what the camp ones were going to be like and stuff. I just always thought like, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to escape. I don't want to.
Exactly.
But then I'm like, no, this is funny. Even if you don't escape, we still usually enjoy it for the most part.
As long as it's not public rooms.
There's only two rooms I've not escaped out of my 76.
There's only two?
Both of
I remember one very clearly.
One of them was Kurt's fault. He was with us. I'm pretty sure it was his fault.
It was not my fault.
No.
It was definitely the fault of that place. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Both of the rooms I did not escape one from were the game master's fault because they were not paying attention and would not, like, we asked for help. We asked for clues and they weren't there. They were like, oh, you need to do this. And I'm like, we did that. Yep, this is what you need to do. And so we just kept trying it over and over again. And finally the time ran out and the game master walks in. I'm like, what were we? Oh, you needed to get, oh, you got it out already. Yeah. An hour ago. Right. So mad. But
you and Carrie are really good. Tina and I, we always talk about how we're enthusiastic about escape games. She's better at it than I am. But we have a lot of fun. But when I play with you two, you and your wife, you guys, you pick up stuff really quick. That's
weird
impressive.
Things. That is my talent. I am really good at weird, dumb, random things. Normal stuff in life, absolutely not. But just weird, I'm like, oh, you need to be able to get this wire through that hole in a certain...
Right.
Got it. I'm on it.
So you do the escape rooms at camp, but also like you've put together the mystery trail.
Yep. So we have a mystery trail, which we call, a mystery trail. It's essentially an escape room on a hike.
Right.
And so it's very linear because you're on a hike. So you can't go around a whole lot. Right. But you start off. So we have a pamphlet that we start ours off with and lead you to the first box. You have some kind of clue there to open, unlock the first box. After you unlock inside the box is a puzzle. And so a lot of these are printed on paper because it's outside year round. Mm-hmm. Some of them are things that can stay outside. Like I do have some like plexiglass pieces of stuff that you have to line up or puzzles. So they're not super hard puzzles, but when you answer that puzzle, you write the answer down in your book, you lock it back up and you walk along and you walk to the next box and whatever your answer was from the previous one, that's how you unlock the next one. So your hike, it's supposed to take a little less than an hour. But if you have to backtrack, it's not opening. We must have got it wrong. You do have to walk back and look at it again. And there's some of that. And there's little things like I know along the way, there's some counting. And so it'll tell you like, hey, on your way to your next box, how many frog statues do you find along the way? And so as they're walking, there's these little random frog statues on the trail. Right. Or there's little metal butterflies we hung up in the trees and things like that. And so there is some of that. Or they have to answer like some questions just because of where the trail falls. You're going to go over the creek. And so what do you see and things like that to tie it all in. But
the nice thing about that is that you can, if you have retreat groups, you just give them the pamphlet and they're on their way. It doesn't take facilitation.
That's true. But the problem with that we have learned is if somebody breaks something or they reset a lock or something happens, or if you even if they can't get it open, that a lot of times people don't tell us. And so we don't know until the next group goes and they're halfway through the thing. They're like, hey, box 5 had issues. We couldn't get into it, so we never finished. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You need to give them a walkie-talkie.
Yes.
So if you need any hints or anything, just radio. That's true. And but you've also done boxes.
Yeah, we start off with the box. Actually, we start off with shelving, more or less, is pretty much. It was the like the shoe shelf, like those little cube shelves.
Right.
And we put doors on them and stuff and just turned it like you go from little door to door. So start off that. Then I got a little bit smaller. We bought like the big old crates or the treasure boxes.
Like the trunks.
The right? trunks. Yeah. Like yep, the yep. camping trunks.
Yeah.
And they had then inside them littler boxes and stuff. And so that's where it went to next. And now it's we're down to bags. We've just gone even smaller and
much more portable.
A lot easier to bring around. Those, especially one trunk I had was heavy. It was on wheels. It had a little handle. And we sent it to a school one time and they broke it. The handle is just old leather handle. So it wasn't their fault. They weren't trying.
Right.
So now it's, I don't have a handle to carry this thing anymore. And it's so heavy.
I'm not picking this thing up and putting it in the truck.
Yeah. Much easier with the bags now.
That's cool. So why do you even do puzzle? I guess I'm going to call them puzzle activities to encompass the bags, the mystery trail, the escape room. What's the purpose or why have them at camp?
So I'm a huge camp person. I love camp, grew up going to camp, and I have a twin brother. And so we would go to the same camp every year. And he is Mr. Sporty. He in all the camp games, he won everything. He did all. And I could have cared less about sports or playing. I'm a social person, or I'd rather do something like puzzly activity wise. But there wasn't anything like that at the camp we went to.
Yeah.
So if you weren't good at sports, the game time, I helped my team win no points whatsoever. there's nothing. But
and so there's kids like that. Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids like that. So when I started working at camp, I'm like, we have to do. And so this was years ago when I was just a program director back in 2002, I think. I'm like, we have to do something for these kids so that they can have their time to shine, because my brother would do horrible at puzzles. That is not his thing, but gives those other kids time to shine and they can earn points for the team. And so at that time, I created a giant slide puzzle where you slide the pieces and you have to make the picture by sliding. So I had a huge one of those.
I am horrible.
I had like giant tangrams we had.
Oh, I'm worse at those.
The Soma Cube was something we had back then where it's like they're all these little Tetris kind of shape pieces. You got to make them fit to make a cube.
Oh, yeah.
So you're started off with that. Yeah. And that's how I started. It's okay. This gives those brainiacs, those nerds like me, something that they can excel at and enjoy. And so that started there. And then now it's, escape rooms are a thing. This is cool. I want to do this. So
going back to escape rooms, what are some of the things you really like commercial escape rooms? What are things you really like about them or things that you've seen that you really like?
Yeah. I think a big favorite, and it's even here when people do ours, the big aha moments. If you can have a mag lock to trigger something, like you touch something, you put something somewhere, and a secret door opens or a secret chest opens, those little mag, that is a huge aha moment. Everyone's like, what? This is, we just did it for this past weekend. We had a marriage retreat out here. And so we had a bunch of adults here at camp, and they were like, what? How did that happen? How did you press a button? Did you do something? Awesome. Like, nope. And so as they go through, I have four of them in my room. They just get more and more amazed. The other thing I think is a big aha moment, and you have to include, in fact, I hate commercial escape rooms that don't have this, but you need to have more than one room. If everything is in one room, shoot me now. I hate it. This is, I like to, you got 5 or 6 puzzles in here. You open up a door, you go to another room that has 5 or 6 puzzles. That's just so much better. But same here. I know it's so funny when groups do it. They get so excited. It's 10 minutes. They're in that first room. 10, 20 minutes. Yes, right. We figured it out. And they open the door like, we got a whole other room here. And then the questions start. How many rooms are there? I'm like, I can't tell you.
That's true.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 total.
Is it four in the night castle one?
Technically five, because the one, the tunnel room, they get into that room where they have to shoot some goblets. And then that opens a secret passage underneath that they crawl through and they have to figure out a lock in there. So I count that as one room, but technically it is five, you know, different spaces they're in.
That's funny. One of the things I loved about your room is that they were supposed to defeat the dragon, right?
Yes.
At the end. And so they get to the end, waiting for this dragon. What was it?
It was a bearded dragon. He was one of our nature center at camp. And you just, dragon. It said, I remember you finally opened, because his cage was locked, and you find somewhere in the room, you found this little, it was bearded dragon snacks. And it's something like helps calm angry dragons on them. Like we had a whole thing. And then when you unlock his cage, the snacks had RFID on them. So when you dropped them in his dish, it unlocked the room and they escaped.
Nice. You don't do that anymore, though.
No, because the place that we have moved that room to now is not heated, and he would die in there. It would be too cold for him.
Do you still have that as the ending? Do you have a stuffed dragon or
nope. What? So the ending changed completely.
Okay.
Now it's just a quest. You're trying to find the golden pineapple. So you eventually get to the dungeon where there's a treasure chest, and you're trying to find the golden pineapple.
Gotcha.
So it did change up the room. Just for the original room, when we had a live actor that was in the jail. And so there was, you know, in the dungeon, we had a live actor in there.
That's right.
You make it in the room and he's hanging there on these chains that are fake. And he's, I'll tell you a secret. If you go and get this thing for me, I will give you these keys that unlock this treasure chest in this room. And so they all run back. They have to go back to that very first room. And when they go back, I leave. And I actually put a skeleton in the place of the live actors.
Right.
So by the time they get back, he's already dead and there's a skeleton there. But when they go to this room to get something, they find a hook and they use that hook to hook the keys and get it to themselves anyway.
Nice. So you love the multi-rooms. Now I will say, I've played a couple of one-room games that have been really good. I may have to take you to those, see if...
Okay.
Not that I'm going to change your mind, but yeah. What's that?
No one rooms I've played yet that I have enjoyed.
All right. So. Fair enough. Yeah. And then, of course, the electronics, which if you're doing a low-cost escape room and you're at camp and you don't know about, that's something that could be a little bit of a challenge. But I've also played commercial escape rooms that had no tech and have been a lot of fun. But it is, especially the first time that you're like, oh, it's magical. It is magical.
Yeah. We did a all Gen 1 room, no technology whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And at one point we got this little tiny cannonball. And so we're immediately, this is a magnet. It's an RFID.
Right.
We're putting this cannonball against everything. At the very, we finally figure out you have to drop it in this thing and the weight of it actually makes something go out. But man, we put it up against every picture, frame. The guys came and laughed later and they were telling, we were laughing at you because we're like, you can tell you've done rooms because you're trying to use this. So, yep.
So you playing like commercial rooms, is there anything else? Or let's say, is there anything that you don't like?
So I say, another thing I like to have, I like task-based puzzles. Yeah,
me too.
But I've learned I do not like too many task-based puzzles.
Right.
And so there has to be a good balance. I did one room one time. We were superheroes trying to defeat a villain. And you find one of those grappling hooks. And I'm like, oh, this is cool, kind of interesting. And there was some kind of movie poster on the side of the wall. And it talked about the name of the band was like the Falling Flower Pots or something like that. And so when you look up, flower pots up on this little balcony that's up there. So you got to throw the grappling hook up, and when you pull the flower pot, they're on a hinge. So then it just falls over a little bit, and there's numbers inside the flower pot. And cool. I'm like, oh, that is a fun little puzzle like that. We have in ours, we have to shoot a bow and arrow at goblets. When you knock one goblet off, it opens the tunnel. But I have done rooms that are completely task-based and no locks at all. And I'm like, oh, I don't enjoy this. I want to find,
because you're like, I'm not at a carnival.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Either sometimes, but
yeah,
you're just guessing. But those, the other, we have the goblets, and it in a camp setting, I got two bows and arrows, but really the size of the room, two people could shoot at the same time anyway, and that's right. It. And, but I got nine kids in there. And so they fight over who gets to shoot. And then if somebody gets it before everyone's got a turn, then that kid's, well, I didn't even get a turn to shoot. And so
there's, and that's a challenge of doing an escape room at a camp, is that you've got a group of between 8 and 12 kids.
Uh-huh.
One, they're kids. And two, there's a large group of them. And it, you can't have a linear room with a group of 12 kids. It just, and you almost need to divide them. I mean, there's different ways you can do it. And we've talked about the different ways you can do it on our other podcast. But yeah, it is a challenge to have 8 to 12 players in a room where everybody has something to do, or at least they, two people at a time, have multiple things to do. But
I've been to a couple escape rooms that have like kid, that's where kid geared rooms, like they are made for kids. And I think that is probably one of the best, because trying to come up with an escape room that works for a group of kids that also works for adults doesn't always, there's some different things we've learned with ours here. Kids see and hear things differently than adults do. And so we had a sound puzzle in our room. The kids heard it every time. It would annoy them to no end. They kept hearing the sound, like, why is this sound there? Adults have learned to block out that sound. And every time we would have adults in that room, they couldn't, they never heard it. They didn't figure it out. And I'd have to like give them a clue. Do you hear anything? What? There's something, they didn't realize that. Or even one part of our room, there's a bunch of fake fruit. And when we bought it, I'm like, oh, here's an onion. Great. We put it in the thing and this is an onion. Well, apparently it's a pomegranate, but the kids all know that it's a pomegranate, because every time they find, like, oh, look, a pomegranate. And every time an adult picks it up in our room, oh, look, we got an onion here.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's hilarious. So then when I have the kids and I have to say, actually, that's an onion. And so I need to change that puzzle up, just because it's, the kids know it's a pomegranate.
And wow.
Like, I don't even, when I was a kid, I would have no clue what a pomegranate looked like. No.
We did a online during COVID. We created an online escape room that was really good. I was proud of us for what we created.
Yes.
But you also created another one that had music.
Yeah. Similar puzzles, because we used the music in the first one too. The background noises. Yeah,
That's right. Because we had the different sounds of things. And it was the same thing. The kids would hear it and the adults would not
block it out.
Like they would block it out. And then, but the order of the sounds helped you solve a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the only way to solve the puzzle, but it definitely did. And so the kids who would hear that, they would solve the puzzle quicker. So that's really interesting. Kids also enjoy searching.
Yes.
Where adults,
searching and counting.
Yeah.
Kids, that's where they're good at. Because when I have kids in the room, they immediately start searching and they immediately start counting stuff. Oh, there's four flags here. There's adults get in the room and they start looking for, okay, there's probably a note here somewhere. There's probably I see this color lock. So colors are going to be important and things like that.
Yeah.
I hate searching with a pet. I hate dumb searching, I guess. If there's a little bit of, okay, we know that you lost your candlestick. You got to go find it. Okay. No big deal. But like, I've done one. I was looking for a key and it was underneath a bit, like you had to crawl down underneath the bench and it was wrapped up with the twine, so you couldn't even see the key. You had to unwrap the twine, and I'm like, while I'm doing this, I'm like, I hope I'm not breaking this person's escape room, because unwrapping this thing.
Yeah, that's Tina and I were talking about with a room that we're designing, having just a key hook, like on the wall there's like hooks and you put your keys on, so you can have six sets of keys. So if it's adults playing they just grab the key, they open a box and there's a puzzle or something like that. But if it were kids, we would take those keys and we would, not hard, but hide them around.
They would enjoy that.
Fun for them. It's different. It's different when you're designing for kids, for sure. Like, we are at the age where we don't want to crawl, but kids all about it.
Love that.
They love it. Like, they want to be little hamsters going in, just crawling away. So there is a different mindset. And so when you get as an escape room designer who is designing for both adults and kids, it's difficult because it's easier to just do one or the other. Kids, you have to really, I don't want to say dumb down the puzzles. Puzzles need to be easier. They need to be easier. And even as adults, when Tina and I go and play, we love a game that we don't want to have to ask for hints. Obviously, who wants to? We will. We're not shy about it. But even the easier games that we get through, as long as we enjoyed the puzzles of it, and we feel more accomplished, actually. And we're like, okay, that was on the easier side, but it was a fun puzzle. As opposed to back in the day, and still some of the places do it. Oh, we have a 12% success rate.
Yes,
we don't even bother. We're like, we're not going to have fun. Forget it.
Because it's so hard. Their goal is to not, don't know, the goal should be success for everyone. And I've noticed, though, even my rules are different for kids and adults. And so, like, when I give out the rules, I have to tell adults not to break things. Like, kids usually are fine.
Really?
I've never seen a kid try, but most adults will try and rip things off the wall, pull things down.
They're horrible.
Pull out a pocket knife.
Adults are horrible.
Or they pull, we have a, it is a dark room, but the puzzles are all black light. And so they need that black light color to be able to see some of the colors. Adults quickly pull out their flashlights on their phone and start looking. Actually, you're making it harder because now the black light's not going to work because you got your flashlights on. So
that's an issue. The older you get, the harder it is to see, especially in the dark. We have that problem all the time. And people are like, especially if an escape room says, oh, don't use any flashlight for it's for ambiance. We're like, we can't see. And then they give you a flashlight, which we thank you so much. We carry our own at this point, but thank you so much. And then you get a lock that has metal numbers and the light bounces off and you can't read it. So frustrating.
I have part of my rules for the campers are there's no farting in the escape room.
What?
They have to, because that is especially middle school boys. And because I'm in there with them, because it's a camp escape room. We don't have all the technology for cameras and stuff. So I'm in there with them.
And, right.
Oh my goodness. The first probably 2 or 3 weeks we did it for camp, the boys are just farting it up. I'm like, listen, this, you are gassing us out here. And so I would always show them, like, this door is always open and it goes to the outside. This is your fart room. Please go out there. Because I'm stuck in here with you.
Hilarious.
So
that's hilarious.
Please do not Dutch oven me in here.
That's a rule.
Yeah, it is a rule. It's on the list.
Awesome. Is there anything else, like, in a typical escape room that you don't like? Math?
Math is okay when it's simple math.
How do you feel about just decoding hieroglyphics and stuff like that?
I am not a huge fan of the symbols, especially hieroglyphics. I'm to the point I will not do any more Egyptian rooms. Done with the hieroglyphics. So if it's an Egyptian room, I'm skipping it. Mm. We just did one that we just kept decoding over and over. Every, like, it was 5 puzzles. I'm like, no. I can't tell how many rooms I've gone in and there's a stuck clock. The room I have has a stuck clock in it.
Right.
And I'm like, man, we can't figure it out. We have to ask for a hint. And they're like, do you know what time it is? I'm like, you got to be kidding. How do I keep forgetting this?
Although I will say 75% of the rooms that we've done that has a stuck clock, that stuck clock means nothing.
Oh,
and then there's a 25% where it does. And you're like, does that mean anything? Is 1-12-06, is 12-6 gonna open a lock?
The majority of people in my room that do it, they look at the second minute and then hour hand. So instead it's 9:35, but instead they go, oh, let's see, that's 6-7-9 every time. And to the point, I'm about to change the lock to 679 because that is the first answer they all come up with. I'm like, oh,
then
weird.
You need to fix it, just like you were telling the other employee, you need to fix it.
It's the few, there's several groups that come and go, oh, 935. Oh, it's 935. Like they know. I'm like, they would never get 679 because no one looks at a clock and thinks 679.
Although there are things that we will not put in our rooms going forward. And one is a clock because a lot of people can't read clocks.
Nope, can't read them anymore.
And another is a phone because needless to say, we're not going to use a rotary phone. That would just be insane. But even a touchtone phone, we had a group of teenage girls come into one of our rooms and they went to a phone and they knew that they were supposed to call, right? And so they would hit the number and then pick up the receiver. And we're like, no, you need to pick it up first.
Pick it up first.
And they're like, how are we supposed to know this? We don't know how to use a phone. This is dumb.
Locker combination locks. Things can't use one. No one knows how to use those.
I'm always Tina. You're on the not worse than that are the safe combination locks because you have to go four times and then three times and then two times. We have the hardest time with those.
Yep.
Multiple times we've had to have the game master come in and do it. There's one in Kissimmee where apparently it's a big thing where people are always like, yep, the game master has to come in to open this safe. Because there are four numbers and are you supposed to go clockwise three times or four times and back and becomes an issue. So no, we will not have one of those either.
There's a lot of those little, I've also gotten really good at stuff. I just did a room. She had a pig pen cipher. I got the pig pen cipher memorized at this
Even have to. Yeah.
So I'm like, as soon as I see it, I know the answer. I don't need to find your decoder.
Unless it's not that, because we went to one room where I was like, oh, I know this. And then it didn't work out. And then we found the decoder later and it was completely different. I was like, ah, they got me.
That's funny.
It does take some of the magic away is the more rooms you do, but you're just looking for kind of something new. And that's what makes it hard when you're designing an escape room, because really you have to design it for new people. Because there's so many people that have never done escape room and you can't quite design it for enthusiasts because there's not enough enthusiasts to keep you in business. No. And you don't want new people to go, oh, these are escape rooms are too hard. I don't want to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a tough balance. But and what's your next project?
We're working on a puzzle room as our next big thing. And so this
talk about what's a puzzle room.
It's an idea we stole from Escape Room Family in Ohio. So it's not too far from us, but they just have, you go in a room and it's themed. It's painted like that. Yeah. But it's not, the theme isn't a huge part of it. I don't really need it to be. They could do it without a theme and I would be fine, but it's just
puzzle room one.
Yeah, that's right. Just gobs and gobs of escape room puzzles that when you unlock them, they don't lead you to some, I guess, are multiple. You have to unlock multiple things to get something done. But for the most part, you get these little foam balls that you throw in this tube. You're trying to get a score. But the reason I want to do it at camp is it's great for kids because you don't have to follow the linear thing. You can go where you want to go. If you get fed up or you get frustrated with the puzzle, you can just leave it and go try something else. But then you would come back and do it again because I would go and do several of them again because when we went, Kurt, with you and Tina, you guys unlocked something I didn't see. So I'm like, I want to go back and figure that out. And so I would actually pay to do the room multiple times just so I get to do every puzzle.
And you've done couple of their rooms a couple of times.
We have.
Like you took your staff to play. And basically, because the four of us went into a room and you can just spread out, find a puzzle you want to do and do it. It's all about collecting the balls to put into the chute. Mm-hmm. And the game master there is no game master.
There's no hints.
No, nothing, which makes it very easy.
They give you a hint
to begin with. Yeah.
That's on the door that I still have not actually figured out. The hints do not make sense on the door at all. This is not an end. I don't know what this is, but
it's such a good concept because you don't have to worry. One person can run these four. Where they have four rooms, four games,
four or five, yeah.
And they're one room,
yeah.
Games.
It is one.
They have like little alcoves and stuff like that, but yeah. It's simple. And one of the other things about that place is that they have cameras in the rooms, but those cameras feed out into the lobby. So if grandma doesn't want to go in, she can still watch, people play.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept, but they had some really good puzzles.
They did. They're very escape roomy puzzles. I mean, you're thinking like Grill Ciphers, and some of them are like, you know, there's all these wires and you got to trace the wire to one. The thing I was worried about when we first did it, I'm like, oh, it's very, I work on my puzzle, you work on your puzzle, and we're, but there is a ton of them that require teamwork too, which is why I like escape rooms for the team building. But Kurt, I don't remember if you and I did it or Carrie, but we had to stand on two sides of this wall that looked like Swiss cheese. It had holes in it. And then there were lines drawn. And so very top it'd say start, and it'd draw a line to this hole. And then nothing. And so I would stick my finger in that hole and you would see, oh, I got a line to this next hole. And then you'd stick your finger in on your side. And
that
then I would say,
carried.
Oh, there's that hole
down
there.
Yeah.
And then, oh, now we follow the line here. So we just have to keep following the lines until we got to the correct answer. And I'm like, oh, that is very, like, you needed two people for that.
I remember one I did with your daughter, Autumn. And one of us had to, there were all these holes. And you had to put a ball into the hole, and it would go out, and wherever it went out, because you didn't see, it went into the wall, and then it would come out, and it would give you a number that would be associated with the letter on the other side. And so Autumn would be out there. She'd be like, it came out of two. And then you knew, okay, the second number on the lock is an A.
Yep.
And then I put in B. Okay, it came out of four. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. I liked, but you had to have teamwork. You didn't have time to run around the wall to see where it came out.
No.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a neat idea.
I don't know. I say, I'll have to figure out something different because the little foam balls I'm highly allergic to. So I will have to figure out something different you get and throw.
The,
I don't know what.
The ball pit, those plastic ones.
Oh,
that's
that's
what you
not
should
bad.
Do.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That'd be
yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
So do they ask, would they get squished and
they get a little broken sometimes, but I don't think that's if you're jumping in. I don't think if you just were tossing them, they're not gonna
that's a great idea
hurt. But yeah, all right, cool.
So
now
thing. We're
gonna be doing this thing, this podcast thing, and it'd be fun because we both love it. Mm-hmm. We love escape rooms. We're gonna be talking to owners, and as I'll keep you updated as Tina and I were looking for space to open up our room. So it's going to be probably a year process, but we're looking for space. Staffing's going to be tough. Staffing, especially since it's so seasonal, it's going to be a challenge, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
We're also thinking about having a, like a retail space where we sell escape room games. Mm-hmm. And we have merch for each room.
Stickers. Get stickers.
Stickers, magnets.
Pins. If every escape room had stickers, I would own them. Like every time I do a room, I would buy their stuff. Which I got here in my backpack. Who's the company that does the pins?
Oh, Wizard or something?
The escape game.
Oh, that sells the escape business. Yeah. Escape game. Huh?
And so I buy them because I'm like, I want something like that to just like, oh, I was here. I did it. So.
Yeah, I agree. But stickers, we have a whole, magnets is our thing, especially because we were doing the RV thing. We put them on our fridge. And so it is so few places have magnets.
Or any merch at all.
Or stickers or any merch. Yeah. It's true.
Just have a little bit. You don't need a whole, just a little bit. I would totally, souvenirs. Yeah. I would. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, until next week, we will, like I said, this is episode 2. Next episode, we're going to have John from Black Mountain Escape in North Carolina. Wonderful escape rooms. And we will continue on from there. Who knows who we're going to have on here?
Who knows?
Who knows?
If you would like to be on, is there a way they can reach out to us? If maybe they're an escape room owner, they want to be a part of this.
If you want to be on escape room owners, if you're a prop designer, if you're a game designer, let's talk about escape rooms.
Yeah.
Then reach out to me at mysterysoupgames@gmail.com. mysterysoupgames@gmail.com. And yeah. Let me know.
Cool. So this is Kurt and Chris. Thanks for tuning in to Mystery Soup Podcast. Until next time, may your clues be clear and your escapes be triumphant. Keep puzzling, my friends.
Love it. Love it. All right. See ya.
Mystery Soup. Mystery Soup.